This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I was checking out a little Reddit feed over the weekend, and this interesting feed came up that I sent to my wife, and it was purportedly, seemingly, parents talking about their children being gay and queer and furries, and it was really interesting. My wife pulled out one comment. She said, one of the parents wrote, "I'd be a lot more comfortable with my child being a furry than religious." It really spoke to me about what we're dealing with right now in terms of the spiritual health. People say spiritual war. I'm kind of with, and I've said it too, to be fair, but I'm kind of RFK Jr. on this, that we need to stop the war mentality, I think would be the best thing to do. We need to work collectively on our spiritual health. I think maybe we need a little help doing that. I don't know. Just my observation. I read that string, and it was the first thing that parents, even these parents that seem to be very much, go along with this whole program, were surprised at how young their children were coming out and speaking about these things that they didn't even know that their children knew. 9 and 10 years old, saying that they're queer or trans, or they like girls and boys. There was also another funny thing I got into a little conversation with my wife about, and it was the defending the furries. They said, well, there's children grow up playing with costumes, and that's been a thing for a long time, and there's some adults that like to do it as a way to have fun too, and it's not all sexual in nature. Well, it's just weird and creepy. And I said to my wife, I said, forget about the sexualization part. Forget about the animals part a second. Let's just stick with grown adults running around in costumes. If I was going to go out back in a Spider-Man costume, would that be a little weird? I think my wife would think it was a little weird. The neighbors might think it's a little weird, too. Don't you think? And don't you think that it's well-grounded? I mean, if I got on here and I said to you, hey, guess what I did this weekend? On Saturday, I was out in my Batman costume. On Sunday, I was playing Superman. Who talks like that? It's like this complete reversal of everything we knew to be normal human. And, they say we're living in this matrix or something. Maybe we had it wrong. Yeah, maybe everybody's just naturally super weird. It's now all just, nobody keeps it to themselves anymore. Every little weird thing, everybody's got to let everybody know about it. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the podcast. My back was a little tight this weekend. I had to move a little slowly. We're moving some topsoil around, cleaning up the yard, cleaning up the garden, got the plants ready to go. I'm not going to get too into it right now, but we're taking a little different approach. I was all very excited about it, and my back becomes a problem. Every doggone year, there's been something that gets in the way of me executing my plan. It always becomes harder. 2 years ago, whatever it was, 3 years ago, concussion. This year, back issues. Always something. What are you going to do? You got to keep moving forward, especially as we get older, right? Keep walking, keep stretching. I think I might have mentioned this. I don't know if I did or I didn't. I had these 14-inch high push-up stands. I don't like getting down on the ground anymore, and it elevates the push-up just enough that it makes it a little easier. I can get a little higher rep count. And I like it like that at this point in my life. It just works really, really well for me. Well, I can't really be doing push-ups right now on my shoulder or my back. So what I have been doing is planks on that. Obviously, my elbows aren't bent, but you don't need your elbows bent to do a plank. You can do it. The only reason you're getting down on your elbows for the plank is to provide the least amount of, benefit of your body weight. The more elevated you are, the easier it is to do the plank. So for me, it's a girl plank, if you want to call it that. I'm proud of that. Speaking of queer, maybe I'm a queer planker. I just made a new term. I got to fit. I think I could fit in now. I'm a queer planker. Look at that. See that? We can find common ground. I don't care. I'm proud of it. I go into 14-inch high push-up stands. My arms are extended. So, yeah, it's a much easier plank than it would be if I was down on my mat with my elbows bent. But it's fine. I just do it longer. And I find that it's really great tightening up my abs without any pressure at all on my back. So, anyway, I was working outside, but I had to back off a little bit. And I was watching and listening to some amazing stuff about World War II. And our money and where things are going and the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. You know, I'm fascinated with that. Part of what I'm fascinated with, you know, they showed it, that Stalin issued an order by territory. He said, I want this number of people arrested. I want this number killed. Listen, amazing to think that such an order would be given, and it was followed. And it was followed enthusiastically to the point they said, wow, we could beat those numbers. We could do better. And they were just randomly rounding people up. I watched interview after interview of this. It was really just crazy to think about on so many levels. They basically took anybody that they thought was any kind of political dissident, and it didn't even have to be, really. It didn't even have to be. This would be the story. So many of these I heard. The family would be home. There would be a knock at the door in the middle of the night. Always in the middle of the night. This is what they did. They woke everybody up. And they wouldn't go on these mass roundups. They never once, the millions of people that were rounded up in Russia, they never rounded up gangs of them and threw them in paddy wagons or anything like that. Nope. Nope, nope. It was one here, one there, one here, one there. In the middle of the night, what the hell happened to John? They picked him up last night. They found some stuff on his computer. What do you mean they found some stuff on his computer? I don't know. They're saying it's bad, though. He's going to be going to prison for a long time. What? This is what they were doing. Nobody knew the evidence. Nobody knew what was going on. Everybody believed it. Everybody was in fear. And it's just amazing how they toppled this country like this. What would you do if that started happening here? Would you even know? Would you protect yourself? Would you hunker down and hope that everything was okay? Was it isolated maybe only to certain areas? I don't think so. I think it was everywhere. It freaks me out. At the same time that was going on, Germany was so distrusting of Jews that they were doing the same thing. Round them up, kill them. Kill this many and imprison this many. Work them until they're no longer worth anything, and then just kill them. Shoot them in the neck. That was the way they did it. I wonder if that's a painful way to die. I have to believe that it is. Millions of people like this. I look at the video of all this because there was TV at the time that this was going on. World War II veterans in America were coming home, developing places like Levittown, buying Chevys, Buicks, driving in new cars, building families. Meanwhile, millions and millions of people were suffering horribly. Then there was this mass purge. And I have to believe that that purging of ideology and people has had an impact on Russia even today. I can't imagine the mistrust. How could you not? And they literally were some of the police chiefs. What they did is when Stalin first took over, he took even people loyal to him. And this is what these evil regimes do. They create fear this way, right? So they get in there, they take control. The first purging that he did was in his own political circle, killing people that were close and loyal to him. Well, they wanted to bring in a fresh new batch that would be completely loyal without question. You know, see, around 50 years old, I think a man starts to think for himself. You know what I mean? Not so quick to follow the herd. And all of a sudden you start to ask, well, wait a minute, why would we do that? I thought we said we were doing that. You know what? You're getting to be a problem. How evil. I look at Stalin, I just see evil. Satan himself, somebody that would be comfortable rounding people up and killing them like that. They viewed people as less than human, to say the least, right? it troubles me when I look at all that history. I read about it. I listen to it. I see the video of it. And I say, this could happen again. I see the hatred building. I feel it. I feel it. And already we see the government unable to provide, not only unable to provide safety and security, but becoming the biggest safety and security risk, quite frankly. Spending and debt out of control. Sooner or later, the bills are going to have to be paid. Somebody will be blamed, and somebody will be forced into hard labor over it. Who do you think it'll be? Interesting, right? It may not go as you think, either. This is no way to govern. No way to be a society. That's my opening monologue today. You're welcome. Let me tell you the stories I want to talk about today and maybe on into the week a little bit. I don't know what all we'll get to today, but these are the big stories. This story from Politico about this Washington PR hack. Wait till I tell you what he did to change political momentum. And you hear these stories every once in a while. I pointed something out similar years ago, how the news is manipulated, how opinion is manipulated, how decisions are heavily manipulated. And it's almost like the politicians that get elected, they're like perfect to be manipulated, almost how they're selected in some ways. Anyway, it's a crazy story. I'm coming to realize it's all manipulated. Wait till I tell you that story. You probably heard about this one, the DEI judge. I don't know what a DEI. Why would it be a DEI judge? Why are they saying DEI judge? Defense lawyer, she told us. Oh, the judge is being called a DEI hire because she's a black female. And, you know, that's a risky position to take, that every black female's been hired because of, you know, racial quotas or DEI or something like that. But I don't know. Either way, this judge, I guess, not elected. I don't know. Elected on that basis. Anyway, she said that, arguing a gun case, and she said that the Second Amendment does not exist in New York City. And, you know, she's being blasted for that, of course. And I say, well, because she was being truthful. And don't blame the DEI hire for being honest. She's not the one that put all this in place. Oh, no. You can thank white men for doing that. She had nothing to do with that decision. I find this whole thing funny. It's funny who we blame. All she did was simply tell the truth. You're going to blame her for saying it. I say the same thing. Oh, don't blame me. I'm not the one that did this. I'm just calling it like it is. The judge says, hey, you're not going to do your client any help by coming in here and talking about the Second Amendment. They're anti-Second Amendment in New York, anti-Second Amendment. But yet, despite being anti-Second Amendment, they're very much pro-Fourth Amendment to the extent that they're just going to not even require anybody to post any bail. So it's interesting, the amendments that New York chooses to support and not. And you can thank Rudy Giuliani for the snapback on the Fourth Amendment. How does Rudy Giuliani, a Republican, implement stop and frisk? That's not unconstitutional. The court said that it was. How come stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional, but the infringements on the Second Amendment have not been successfully argued in New York? Pretty strange when you think about it. Why would that be? The gun laws in New York are extremely barbaric, and good law-abiding people regularly get caught up in these draconian New York laws. They really do. At one point a couple of years ago, there was a Marine who supposedly crossed over the border into Mexico unknowingly. I find that hard to believe. But he had some guns in the car. He got arrested in Mexico, and they had trouble getting him released if they ever did. And there was a big uproar, you know, tell Mexico to release our Marine. Well, at the exact same time, New York City was doing the exact same thing. A Marine veteran from Ohio was visiting New York City, goes into a building, and he says, where do I check my weapon? And they say, wait right here, and they call the cops on the guy. Unreal, really. Anyway, I don't think you can blame the judge. And I think calling her a DEI judge is racist, as best I can tell in this case. Maybe there's more information I'm unaware of. We'll see who wins the case, by the way. I mean, so far, I think the decisions are in her favor, aren't they? You're going to blame her. I don't know. This is interesting the way this is worded. Battleground state, Pennsylvania. Everything becomes political. This is an article about electric school buses. Pennsylvania gets first electric school buses funded by the Biden administration. Battleground state, Pennsylvania. Well, it'll be interesting to see how the electric bus test goes on the school buses. I'll bet that the feedback will be immediate. I suspect it might work out just fine. I do. I think it might be a good fit for school buses. I really do. We'll see. I'm not going to go. Maybe we'll talk about it more. I'll tell you my feelings about it. But I think it is interesting how everything's politicized and they're going to be doling out money and you know, Biden's going to be talking about raising taxes. Let me tell you what will happen with that. All right. Here's how this story goes. And mark my words. I don't like to make predictions, but here's my political prediction, okay? I mean, I'm no Rush Limbaugh, but I've been around the block a few times, and here's what I see happening. Here we are all of, let's just call it effectively May, all right? It's May, and we're going into an election in November, and Biden comes out and says, 45% capital gains to tax the rich, I find that really interesting. First of all, do you not think that wealthy people have come up with some really creative ways to get around capital gains tax over and over again? Really wealthy people don't have to pay capital gains tax because they're rarely in a position that they have to sell. And they'll do all kinds of different things to get around that. However, it won't be the wealthy. It'll be the middle class, of course, that pays. So say, for example, when you go to sell the stocks that you worked hard to save that money and you bought those when you were in your 20s and they made money, those little stocks that you bought for just a few dollars and now they're worth $1 million. You're going to be given half of it to Joe Biden, all right? But that's not going to be the end of it. Joe Biden's saying tax the rich, capital gains tax, but that's not a bill. That's not Congress. They're going to get it, and they're going to then talk. It's not fair to tax the rich like that. It's not just the rich. So we need to raise taxes on everybody. Notice in this conversation, not once has there ever been any, you know, maybe we should stop spending so much. Nope. Hasn't come up. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Electric school buses. Interesting stuff. F-16s going to Ukraine. Oh, boy, there's a lot I could say about this. You know, the United States marched across Kuwait in record time during the Gulf War, liberated Kuwait with little reason. There's like, I don't know, I think it was less than 500 American casualties, KIA, a couple hundred. And they weren't all KIA. Some were accidents and things like that. Very low number of deaths. Incredible destruction on the Iraqi side. Very effective. And there was no Russian or Chinese pushback. Then, of course, there's been the subsequent wars. And I think where the United States screwed up in the Middle East, and this whole idea of wanting to take over and topple all of these countries, which even if it did have noble origins, which I'm not convinced that it did, but maybe it did, that they had no practical sense of the resources it was going to take to actually turn these countries around. And the failed premise that they were doing it. Hey, you may not want freedom, but once we force it on you, you're going to like it enough to want to keep it around a while. These people have never known this. And I think that another part of it is the spiritual foundation. When that doesn't exist, everything else becomes much more difficult. I don't want to get too philosophical about it. What I'm trying to tell you is we invaded Iraq. We made it to Baghdad. Remember that? In like 24 or 48 hours, it was incredible, the shock and all, and the boom. But oh, wow, this is, man, the American military is just unstoppable. But once they got there, even despite throwing money all over the place, we really couldn't create the stability that we wanted. Maybe in some ways there is now, but not really. Afghanistan, even worse, the results. All the time, money, and effort put into these countries, and it never really got what it needed. It couldn't get what it needed. They needed priests there to convert people to Christianity, but that never even came up. I don't even think they realized how important that was. Never happened. And the result has just been a completely failed campaign. But there's a bigger part of this story in terms of, you know, why we care beyond having to pay the bill for this, which will continue coming for years. We will continue to pay for these wars for many, many years. And you watch when it's the veterans that continue to get screwed. They just cut benefits. Sorry, the money's not there. Disabled veterans, yeah, sorry, we just can't pay it. The money's not there. It's gone already. So what do? Well, we're going to send F-16s to Ukraine. I say all this about the Middle East conflicts because we had not had to face Russia or China, not had a peer-to-peer conflict with or without allies, except for Ukraine, and it's not going well. It's simply not going well. The air power and American munitions just handed over aren't enough, and that the Soviets, and it looks like the Iranians as well, right, have developed very formidable defenses and possibly offenses as well. All I see brewing is a giant world war. I can see it coming, if you can feel it, right? They're going to send these F-16s over there, and we're going to watch them get shot down, is my impression of that. Or maybe they're just there to escort Zelensky out when he runs out with his bags of cash. Did you hear that the Harvey Weinstein New York rape conviction has been overturned? Well, considering the timing of the Trump trials, this is really fascinating, and it really isn't making the news. I see the news is so warped and disconnected, but did you hear about this story? Even I would think most people know. Harvey Weinstein, remember him, the Hollywood guy? You know, just everybody hates this guy, but somehow this rape conviction gets overturned. It was very interesting what the judge said wasn't allowed in those cases. It could have serious consequences in other cases. And I think that these cases have been largely wrong and to conduct at all. I mean, how do you come back 30 years later with no physical evidence? And I could be wrong. And I'm not defending Harvey Weinstein, by the way. I'm just saying, legally speaking, they've created this environment where they can just go round people up. And if it's not, if it's first it's him, then it's you, just like the Bolshevik Revolution. Well, Chris, you know, we've got this accusation that, you know, when you came home from the Marine Corps, you were dating this girl and this little incident occurred. What? I never met this woman. You know, she's got a witness that says that you did. You're going to need you to come down and talk about this. And people don't know how to handle it. So I went to a couple of parties, and I mean, yeah, there was drinking involved. And all right, just wait here a minute. We're going to need to get a little more. You know, you think the police are there to help, and they want to get to the truth, and that. I'm not so sure about all that. They're not looking out for you. I don't know. I'm just telling you. Harvey Weinstein, what's his name, the guy here in Philadelphia, the Temple guy, Bill Cosby. I don't know what went on. I've said it before. There's an awful lot of smoke there for there to be no fire. But to come back 30 years later, and what's changed that these cases are now able to be tried all this time later? Why weren't they tried sooner when they should have been? And I'm not saying it's got to be the week after, but for God's sake, Bill Cosby's case, the guy's blind. He's, you know, he's not going to be around much longer trying to throw him in jail. It's because that's where they start, right? That's where they start. There's a new one going around. Did you see they convicted those parents in Michigan for the crimes of the son shooting up the school? A lot of people say, yeah. Well, guess what? They're going to do it with every parent. I think there's another case being tried. See, they got the white parents. So, yeah, we'll do it to the white parents. Just like Stalin. First he did his inner circle, right? And he comes and says, see? We stand for truth and justice no matter who it is. Nobody's above the law. Mm-hmm. Yep. Meaning everybody's going to get screwed. Journalists critical of their own companies are a cause of headaches for news organizations. Yeah, you want to not get shot in the neck? Here's what you need to know. You don't criticize anybody or anything. Just keep your mouth complete. Become a mute would be your best chance of not getting shot in the neck. We want to ask you a few questions. Sorry, I identify as mute. Yeah, of course it's a headache for the news organization when their own journalists are coming out. And I think this is pushback from the NPR thing where the NPR guy came out and said, hey, by the way, NPR is completely biased. And everybody's like, really? Yeah, I was shocked myself. I never got a sense of it. Anyway, yeah, NPR is supposed to be a trusted source, and somebody from within is like, yeah, this is, can't be trusted at all. It's completely biased. Yeah, kind of hurts a little bit. Not in today's era, though. They turn it around. We cannot allow these radical extremists in our news organizations. You know what Teddy Roosevelt said in the Man in the Arena speech? There was a lot more to that speech than most people know. You know one of the things he said? Lies in the media are as dangerous as poison in our food. Think about that. You know what else he said? Forget the words he used. But he said that forced, not sterilization, but not having children, or voluntary, forget the word he used, is heinous. Have big families is what he was saying. So the journalists are complaining about the news organizations. We learned from Trump trial that we already knew that whatever the tabloid there was, it was that, you know, one of those goofy food store papers you could grab. I guess you can't. They're just gone now. That era finally ended. Too bad. Thank God. Talk about the fake news era. So this guy comes in, the publisher, he's buddies with Trump, and they're buying any negative stories before they come out. Now, why would they be doing this? This little game of cat and mouse going on. Wait till I get to the story about the Washington PR expert. Well, let me just get into it a second. This guy, and I could tell you story after story of this. Back in 2010, when the government of Qatar was trying to sell its long-shot World Cup bid, they needed a dirty trick to beat the United States. So they hired this PR expert, Phil Elwood, they're calling him. I don't believe that's his real name. At the time, the assumption was that the cup would go to the Americans. But the strategist working on Qatar's effort had an idea how to change the dynamic. Convince soccer's governing body that Washington was actually divided about hosting the lucrative tournament. No fingerprints, the PR expert was told, meaning they couldn't trace it back to Qatar. Elwood's mind jumped from soccer to PE class and from PE class to the national alarm about youth obesity. An idea emerged invoking a dormant Delaware-registered AstroTurf group called the Healthy Kids Coalition. He paid a lobbyist $10,000 to get a lame duck Democrat, Carolyn Kilpatrick, to introduce a resolution vowing that until K through 12 physical education was fully funded, no tax dollars should be spent pursuing the World Cup. He was looking for a politics reporter who was also a soccer fan. So do you understand what he did there? For $10,000 lousy dollars to pay off a politician, and not all of it even went to the politician. They worked through a consultant, a lobbyist. Consultants are called in the political world. I've met a few of them, and you have to have one if you're going to get into that game. So he's getting paid to drum up. It's cheap. Why do you think Soros is in the game? Soros openly talked about it. They went and they strategized and they said, look, we can go out and we don't need to go in and buy Washington. We don't need to buy New York. We can just buy 10 small cities for about 10 grand a pop. Done. That's how easily influenced. And I've seen it firsthand, man. Man, I sound like Joe Biden. Man, lady. I'm going to get in trouble now, aren't I? That'll get me thrown off the internet. He said lady. It's a tough world we're living in. A couple of $1,000, and it's amazing what these politicians will do. And because they get into it, and I know, I checked into it. Everybody gets in with, well, not everybody. People get in with good intentions, and you quickly learn that you need money. Same with the radio. It's a hard lesson. It's like gab. Oh, I'm going to be free speech. You're going to change social media. One small problem. It's going to cost money. What are you going to do about that? Suddenly the game changes. I don't know. Listen, there's a lot going on. The world's been changing quickly. These stories are fantastic. I want to go in a little deeper. I've got some other stuff. I want to go in a little bit more to this media stuff with the catch and kill and the way the media is being manipulated. I don't know. Trump, I guess, was just playing the game, would you say? I don't know. I'd love to know what this Karen McDougal story is. What's going on with that whole thing? What was he really doing? Is he entitled to have a life? Does anybody really care? Not really. But they've got them all jammed up in court over it. Just the new way of doing things. United Methodist Church begins reorganization over LGBTQ plus issues. That's NPR reporting on that. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge just moved in the wrong direction. Well, they'll use a different inflation gauge. Uncle Joe says the economy is good, and by golly, it is. They call it inflation. We call it economic growth. Spend, spend, spend. Run those presses. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.